Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran at World Pork Expo 2026 in Des Moines. My guest is Dr. Ashley Johnson, the Director of Food Policy with the National Pork Producers Council. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Johnson.
Thank you.
New dietary guidelines have been introduced for Americans. Why is the introduction of new dietary guidelines important for the pork sector?
Yeah, so it's actually a very exciting time for the pork sector when it comes to nutrition, because meat is back, and it is back stronger than ever with the new recommendations from the Dietary Guidelines for Americans, because the pyramid has actually been flipped, literally been flipped, where meat is actually on top. It's being seen as nutritious and what all Americans actually should be prioritizing at every meal. And this is a complete different way of thinking, because it hasn't been since 1980 that we've actually seen a positive movement with meat. And what I mean by that is that for many, many years, we've seen this concept of recommendations reducing meat consumption and also replacing it with plant-based proteins. And animal-based proteins and plant-based proteins are not created equal. They're not the same. And we have the science to back that. And a lot of our conversations have been around, what does that actually mean? Because many people just don't understand why it's not an apple-to-apple comparison. And it's not. And we get so many nutritious things from animal-based proteins such as pork. And so with these new recommendations, it's so exciting, because pork is actually having a moment, and we should be, you know, celebrating from the mountaintop and get our voices out there, because there's so much more work to do from this. Like I said, it's a big win. It's great. We should celebrate. But there's still more work to be done.
How have dietary guidelines evolved? Who has been involved in influencing dietary guidelines, and how do we balance those competing interests?
Yeah, and that's a really great question, because this takes many years to actually come out with a new DGAs. Typically every 5 years we see the new recommendations, and it comes from, actually, we have a group of scientists that come together to look at current nutritional science, debate it, and then they come out with recommendations that goes to USDA and HHS, and they're the ones that actually write the DGAs. That has been the typical process. The problem that we've started to see is that there have been some of those within these scientists that have conflicting interests, I guess is the best way to put it, where they are very much against animal-based proteins, very much pro with the plant-based side. But they also have kind of a little bit, I think, of some of these biased opinions, like I said, for many years of not understanding actually the science behind meat and why it's so critical for our nutrition.
Why are the dietary guidelines so important in the overall world of dietary nutrition?
Yeah, so the DGAs actually, they will touch every American in some way, a family member. And some of the big programs we, of course, think about are our school meals programs. So every school has to follow the DGAs, right? And SNAP recipients, WIC, our veterans meals and programs, our military, our prisons, our indigenous tribes, a lot of those, they all have to follow the DGAs. The other really important thing, too, is the U.S. DGAs actually influence what the world actually puts out. So we have a lot of conversations with others globally, because right now the global conversation is still reduction of meat, replacing with plant-based. But because we flipped the script, literally flipped that pyramid upside down, there's going to be other countries that are looking towards us as the leaders in that space. And so this could have a really great cascade effect, not just here in the U.S., but also globally.
What does the science actually say, and how is the science reflected in the new guidelines?
Yeah, here's what the science really says, is that we need animal-based proteins, especially when it comes to what we get from that protein. Everybody just talks about, if you go anywhere right now, it's protein, 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 right? We're in a protein craze, which is great, but it's actually what you get from that protein too, right? The amino acids, the vitamins, the minerals that our bodies need every single day. As we're sitting right now, you and I are breaking down muscle. And our bodies have to build that back. And without that animal-based protein, those amino acids, we can't do that. And so that is so what's so critical about animal-based proteins that plant-based proteins actually can't do. The other thing, too, is that when I say it's not apples to apples, if you take a look at what you can get nutritionally from, for example, a 6-ounce cut of a pork chop or something like that, compared to if you go to a plant-based protein, I'm sorry, but you got to eat a heck of a lot of nuts or beans or something like that to get the same nutritional quality. And so you actually are ending up increasing your caloric content a lot of times. It's also, hard on your digestibility, as you can imagine. It's just not created equal. And so the science is saying, hey, why would you spend more, calories on something that you could get here that's affordable, right, delicious, and that's actually nutritious right here in the small cut? And so that's what's so critical of actually taking a look at the science, is that we have to make sure to put those in effect and also take a look at what everybody needs, because I think it's so critical to not leave out the groups that are already nutrient deficient. So when we have this conversation, I'm always worried about our toddler groups, our adolescents, especially adolescent females, our pregnant lactating women, our elderly, they are already nutrient deficient. And you start to actually say that they take away. And so like you think about a lot of the programs that feed our elderly and those kids, you start to take away the meat-based, animal-based proteins and replace it with plant-based. You're taking groups that are already nutrient deficient and actually putting them at a negative deficit, right? Making it worse. And so those are things we also have to make sure that we're taking it in consideration.
What does the future hold, and what needs to be done to maintain the momentum?
Yes, this is great momentum. And I think everybody should be excited, should be, go into your communities and start talking about this, especially as we look forward to the next policy, which is the school meals program. And so that rule is going to come out. It has to reflect the DGAs. And so there's going to be a huge change in our school systems. And especially in communities that, if you have a kid in school, you've seen what they're eating, right? Sometimes not the best, but you can get out there and be that voice and say, hey, look, here's pork. It's affordable. You can cook it in so many different ways, for breakfast, for lunch. And I think that's something so exciting, to be able to have schools start to rethink their meals, how they're going to build those, how they're going to be able to make sure it fits in the budget, right? I think that's so critical. And I think that is where, of course, everybody can get involved in their communities, be vocal, say, hey, here's something to think about. Here's something you should build upon. And so that's the next kind of policy we're looking towards. But there's so much more work to do in food policy, right? We're still working on what could be an ultra-processed food definition. The federal government has said that they will come out with one. And what that means is that we don't want pork products, especially processed pork, to unintentionally get put into this negative category of ultra-processed foods, where all of a sudden you have, your pork sausage being compared to a bag of chips. And it's like, no, wait a minute, I know that's not the same. And everyone kind of knows that, but you put a definition on paper, and I think that that's where you start to lose the battle of, if you just focus on processing versus nutrition. And that's what we have to look at. Nutrient-dense foods do not belong in that category. So that's still work that we're doing, because we're seeing a lot within states that are coming out with different legislation around that. Food ingredients, especially ones that are centered around food safety. We have a great safe product. Let's keep it that way. Let's not take away ingredients that make sure that we can package and deliver this safe, delicious, nutritious, and affordable protein to all Americans.
And is there anything you would like to add?
I think right now my biggest messaging is, let's actually start getting out there, be vocal. This is such an exciting time in nutrition that we haven't seen, and as you said, since 1980. And it is something I think that we should all be so excited in being involved in. This is everybody's voice, and I think it's so powerful. As we spread that messaging, people have to respond. Retailers, these places have to respond to what everybody wants. If you want more meat, you want more pork and stuff like that, they're going to have to respond. And so I think that that's my last message, is get out there and be vocal. Don't be shy about this. Tell them, hey, yeah, the science is there. We knew it already, but here's the actual science, is that this is so critical for our health, and let's keep it that way. It's so good for our kids. It's so good for all of our populations that need that nutrition, and for every American.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our guest has been Dr. Ashley Johnson, the Director of Food Policy with the National Pork Producers Council. For Farmscape Online at World Pork Expo 2026 in Des Moines, I'm Bruce Cochran.